Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good? Good. Well, it's time for us to turn our attention away from the issues of life. I don't know if any of you had a busy week, or busy month, busy year, maybe a busy life, and it seems to captivate your attention, and it captivates your heart, and it sometimes can weigh you down. Well, this is an opportunity for us to look to the one that has peace. He's the author of peace, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we do. We just choose to look to you right now. Lord, we pray that all the distractions, issues of life, the busyness of life, Lord, the problems, that they would grow strangely dim today as we look at the light of your glorious face. Lord, I pray that there would just be a drawing near of us to you. Lord, that we would not in any way be hesitant, but as your word says, with full confidence, we would know that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. So, Lord, we do. We choose to come boldly before you today because, Jesus, you've made the way. You made the way, Lord, through the cross. You've made the way, Lord, through being the intercessor for us. You've made the way, Lord, for being the one that has redeemed us and made us children of God. So we thank you for that, Lord. We celebrate you this morning. We celebrate you, God. We celebrate you being in our life and what you've done for us. In Jesus' mighty name, would you stand? Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. been told to live my own truth, do whatever makes me feel good, get rid of boundaries, rules all stifling, chase good feelings, soon be gone. But I find myself more lost than ever, enslaved and bound to my desire. And that's not freedom. The Holy Spirit, more like Jesus. Every day, more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours. My new life, my me, Savior. Everything I do, that's so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image. Into your image. I wanna look like you, God. Into your image. I wanna reflect you, Jesus. Into
Just words. I'll never go back. I'll never look back. I won't even remember what it looked like to be there. It's him. He's the reason why we can do that.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You saved me from myself. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. A new life.
I mean, let's declare this.
I'll never look back. No, I can't go back.
Dead.
No, I'll never look back. No, I can't go back. I'm yours. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You saved me from myself. Praise be to God. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours. My new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me. Make me more like you. The Spirit, more like Jesus. Every day Jesus, crucify my flesh with yours. My new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me. Make me into your image.
It's a great prayer. Challenging, but it is a great prayer. I think it, because it is so good, but Phyllis has something. All right. Amen. Oh, no, it's good.
62 years ago, I was on the down road with five children, and I was making a mess of my life. And I went to a little Pentecostal church down the street, and my daughter said, "Mom, I found Jesus there, 10 years old." So I had to go back. And when I did, I went to the altar and I said, "Lord, I need someone to help me raise my kids. I'm making a mess of myself." 2 weeks later, my husband, Kenneth Ford, walked up to my door, and I've never looked back.
Praise God. How many years have you been married now?
63.
Praise God. Praise God. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. That's what she was saying, but she didn't know it. She needed somebody in her life. You needed Jesus first, but you also needed someone to come alongside and help with the kids. Praise God. Let's do that one more time. Let's make it a prayer this morning. Let's not sing the words. Let's make it a prayer to God. Maybe not so loud, but let's just turn our attention to the Lord.
Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours. My new life might be secure. Everything I do, just so I could honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify. Make me into your image.
One more time.
Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours. My new life might be secure. Everything I do, just so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify. Make me into your image.
Yes, Lord. Make us into your image. Your word promises, Lord, that we will be made into your image, Lord, as we look into your precious promises. We'll take on your divine nature, Lord. Help us all to become children of your word, where your word can totally transform us, renew us, make us into your image. Pray that prayer of yours would be answered today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll greet someone. We'll be back in a few minutes. All right. Who's ready to make a declaration over our Yakima Valley? You know, your words have power. It says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Not just your tongue that flaps, but your voice. And so it takes faith to see things happen. Faith moves mountains. And so when we make these declarations, let's not just make them words, but let's make them declarations of faith. How many know that God wants to do something amazing in the Yakima Valley? How many know that God wants to save people and bring them to healings and deliverances and heal their hearts and heal their He wants to do everything we're declaring here. So you with confidence can believe by faith that God wants to do these things. Amen? Amen. Amen. So on three, join me. You can stand. Yes. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, and that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord, we say amen to those things, Lord. And we also ask, God, that you would just continue to work in people's lives, Lord, that don't know you right now, that aren't even aware, Lord, that you're working in their life to draw them. Lord, I remember myself, Lord, how I was just doing my own thing and how all of a sudden your power and your truths started invading my life. Lord, I pray that that would happen with others. Lord, even ones who have been walking by themselves for most of their life, I pray, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, would convict them of the sin, of the righteousness, and the judgment to come that is your work in their life, Lord, and that they would come to the truth and the truth would make them free. Lord, we speak truth over the Yakima Valley. We speak life over the Yakima Valley, Lord. We speak the love of God, Lord, over the Yakima Valley. We speak the peace of God over hearts and minds right now over the Yakima Valley, Lord. And Lord, most of all, we speak the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the power of Jesus over the Yakima Valley in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What's next, honey? So I'm doing the announcements, but there are none. Thank you for giving. As most of you know, we do not take an offering. We let you do that as part of your worship. There's a box here and a box on the wall after you go out the doors in the back. And I do just want to give one testimony about when we started doing this. There was a family that was in our church, and when they started making tithe part of their Christian walk, God just reestablished their finances. He allowed them to find a home to buy. Just God really, really, really began to set their life right because they chose to trust him. And remember, this is not between you and the church. Tithing is between you and Jesus. Amen? Okay, so the next one I want to talk about is the in-between Sundays. God gave this little saying to me quite a few years ago because church is not about church on Sunday. Church is about what happens between Sundays. And that we learn, we come to glean and learn and receive the Word of God so that we can go out into our own mission field and minister to others around us. So I just wanted, can you put that up on the board, baby? Thank you so much. So it says youth, women, and men. Well, I think the youth are still continuing their Sunday nights, correct? But the women's group, which is my group, and the men's group, which is my husband's group, we are now off for the summer, and we'll reconvene back after school starts up. But what I want to say is our phone numbers are there. If you have something going on in your life and you want to speak to me or speak to him and it's between Sundays, please call us. That's what we're here for. We love you guys. You're like, we really love you guys. And so if there's anything we can do to help you, you have our phone number. So if you want to get your phone out, take a picture so you have it with you at all times, that's the tech part that my husband has put into my brain. I can always take a picture. So with that, I love you guys, and I'm going to turn it back over to my husband.
It's time for children's ministry. So do there are children here? I mean, you can be a child of God and be and not be a child, but we're talking about the ones that are. Come on. True children, right? Did you guys know that Jesus expressed your guys' lives as what it's like to be in the kingdom of God and to enter the kingdom of God? He said you had to be like a little child. So you guys are really important. Do you know that? When we see you, we get to see what it really is like to be a child of God. Be free, carefree, not burdened all the time. You guys don't realize how good you've got it right now, do they? They have no idea. Lord, we just speak blessing right now over these lives and these hearts, God. And we pray, Lord, that you would just allow them to receive today, Lord, what you have for them. And Lord, we pray for the children's ministry, Lord. We pray, God, that there are children out there, Lord, that need to hear the words that you've put on our hearts to speak to them. And so, Lord, we ask you to bring them from the north and the south and the east and the west to join these two. Not just today, Lord, but in the future, Lord, we pray for the children's ministry to be fruitful and multiplying and reaching children's lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. So we're continuing. And just so you guys know, there are... Hello? Do I need to switch mics? Okay, hang on. It might be allergic to me. Is it working? Sounds like it might be working now. Okay. If I'm trying to remember where it was at. Oh, it's okay. No, I've been communicating on the power of being and different things, and it has to do with the kingdom of God, and it has to do with the idea of the parables of Jesus. And as I was about to say, there are over 20-something parables. And so it makes for almost like a half year of messages when, you know, every now and then I'll get something that I on my heart that else that I want to share. And today is an interesting one because I want you to not just hear this message. I always believe that. I just don't want you to hear the message, but to receive the truth that the Holy Spirit has for you. But this message is one that I believe we all need to hear, especially those of us in the Western Church, because we easily can become almost like, for lack of a better term, apathetic to our faith, and almost lazy in our Christianity. And so today I want to talk about the power of being sold out. The power of being sold out. Now, there's many different, ideas of being sold out, and so I want you to know what type of sold out I'm talking about. I'm not talking about sold out like a theater gets sold out. How many of you have ever wanted to go to a movie or wanted to go to some kind of activity, and you get there and the sign says sold out? And it's like, next performance, next week. It's like, oh, I don't have next week, you know. It's very frustrating. But yeah, we're not talking about that kind of sold out. Then there's the selling out of your friends. Like you can betray them. And that's what Judas did to Jesus. For 30 pieces of silver, he sold Jesus out. But that's not the kind of sold out that we're talking about. The kind of sold out that I'm talking about is a sold out individual. Someone who wholeheartedly commits to a belief, mission, or purpose, prioritizing it above all else. They willingly sacrifice personal possessions, including material, wealth, and comforts, as well as meaningful aspects of their life, such as relationships and personal ambitions. Driven by deep conviction and passion, their dedication shapes their decisions and identity, reflecting an unwavering resolve to pursue the cause at any cost. Sold out is radical. I don't know if you've ever met an individual that's sold out. Maybe you were sold out one time for something, and maybe you were sold out for Jesus at one time. But it's easy to lose the joy of our salvation. It's easy to lose the fire of God and the passions that we once had. We were singing that song, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day, you know, crucify my flesh. You know, cause my heart to be awakened to you. I mean, that's a prayer of being sold out. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have find difficulty singing some of these songs because I'm going like, that's not where I'm at right now. Lord, I need you to help me in this area because this song is convicting me. I'm not measuring up to what I'm praying in this song. Well, let's go ahead and look at a parable here of Jesus, a couple of them actually. This is in Matthew 13:44. This is the New Living Translation. Now, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field.
In his excitement, he hit it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Here's a couple other translations we'll look at before I communicate on it. Here's the Williams. The kingdom of heaven is like a pot of gold, which was buried in a field, which a man found and buried again. And for joy over it, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. The NIV says it this way. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought the field. The Weiss translation says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure which has been hidden in the field, which after a man has found it, he hid, and in his joy goes off and sells as much as he possesses and buys that field. Then I like what the message says. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field for years and then accidentally found by a trespasser. The finder is ecstatic. What a find, and proceeds to sell everything he owns to raise money and buy that field. So Jesus is communicating here about the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is his dominion. It's his place where he rules and reigns. Some people think the kingdom of heaven is someplace far off in the future, or it's someplace up already in heaven. No, Jesus was very clear. He says the kingdom of heaven is within you. And he was telling the people that even before he went to the cross. So the kingdom of heaven was already working in that culture of that time. I don't know how long the kingdom of heaven has been working among mankind. For all we know, even after the fall, the kingdom of heaven was starting to work so that man could come back to God. But the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's very valuable. The kingdom of heaven is something that if we truly realized its value, I think we would be like this man who sold everything that he had so that he could go and buy it. I remember when I was first presented the gospel, I was presented several times where it was like, wah, wah, wah. I couldn't understand it. But when I finally heard it, I realized that everything that I had been chasing for in life was summed up in Jesus. Now, I didn't know all of that articulation, but that's what it meant to me. It's like, oh my goodness, I've been trying to do all these things all my life, and I've been trying to, you know, pacify my pain with different types of drugs and different types of activities. And now I found the one who satisfies my heart, and that pain is no longer gripping me. I've said this before, but years ago, it was someone who was sharing from, we had an encounter, and they were saying, now that I've become a Christian, my worst day as a Christian is better than my best day as an unbeliever. Amen. What a deep saying. My worst day as a Christian is still better than my best day as an unbeliever. That person realized the value of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is God's dominion. It is God. It is where God lives. And guess where God ultimately lives now? In our lives, in our hearts. When we receive Christ, we receive his kingdom. We receive him as a treasure. And so in this man's excitement, he goes and he buys this field. But first of all, he didn't have the money to buy this field. So he sold everything. He sold out of everything he had. He put up a yard sale, or he put it on Craigslist, or he did whatever he had to do to get rid of these items so he could go get that treasure. That's what our hearts need to be like and understand what we have received. Again, in the United States, in the Western culture, it's really easy to say Christianity is just something that we all do. It means you go to church. It means that, you know, you read your Bible every now and then. It means that, you know, might go to a Bible study, listen to some worship songs. And Christianity means more like something that we do, but it's really supposed to be our life. It's supposed to be our heartbeat. What this is talking about is this individual wanted that treasure so much that it became his heartbeat, became his desire. It became his passion. It was so much his desire that he sold everything that he already owned to get that. What have we sold that was in our life so that we could truly receive this treasure of the kingdom of heaven? Here's another parable, just down this is not even down the street, just like right next door. This one's right next door. This is Matthew 13, 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven. So again, just like I told you, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, some call it the pearl of great price, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Are you getting the phraseology here? It's about selling everything that you own. And what do we own? I mean, you could say, well, you know, Pastor, I own a house and a car. You're telling me to sell all these things so that I can get the kingdom of God? I'm not telling you to do those things. I'm just telling you, if there's something that you want, you really want, like God, like his kingdom, like his power working in your life, to be more like Jesus, it costs something. David, in one of the Psalms, is reflecting on an idea that he communicated to someone. And it was when he was getting ready to buy this threshing floor where the angel of the Lord had stopped after a plague was killing all these individuals. And the owner of the threshing floor said, "Hey, King, if you want this threshing floor, I'll give it to you." And David said, "No, I'm going to pay you what it's worth." Then later on, he ends up saying in a psalm, I believe, "I don't want to offer anything to God that doesn't cost me anything." Christianity should have some cost to it. Now, I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty so you're going to go start doing things so that you can appease God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that because of this great treasure of God, we should realize, I'm willing to sell everything. I'm willing to do things that are uncomfortable. We have a prayer time on Sunday mornings. And for those of us that are there, it's amazing. It's like starts the service for us. But it's normally just two or three, maybe four of us. Now, when I was not a pastor and there were prayer meetings, because I realized the value of the treasure that I had received, I went to all-night prayer meetings. No one told me to. They just said, "Hey, we're having an all-night prayer meeting." I went all night because I was so ready to be sold and sell everything that I had, so to speak, and engage in what people were doing. And is prayer meeting on Sunday morning like critical for you to have your salvation? No, it's not. Don't catch that. But it is a sign of how sold out you are. Sorry. It is. It's a sign. Because you're saying prayer is important to me than sleep. More important to me than sleep. Or prayer is more important to me than just, you know, getting to church at 10:15 or 10:30 or 10:45 or 11. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. The Message says it this way. Or God's kingdom is like a jewel merchant on the hunt for excellent pearls. Before I knew God, I was on the hunt for anything that would satisfy me. I was on the hunt for something valuable in my life. I wanted to be a millionaire. I wanted to have a Pantera. I had all these things, you know, that were things that I thought would satisfy me. I wanted to have a house. I was only like 19. I had these desires. Then someone said, "Hey, look what Jesus did for you. You don't have to go to hell. That's all they told me. You know, I don't have to go to hell now. To me, that was important because for some reason, even in my ignorance of the gospel, I knew I did not want to go to hell. I mean, I'd seen some shows and it just did not look good. And I don't like the heat as it is. I mean, when it gets up to 95, 90, I'm in the house most of the time. So it's cooler. So to think that being in a place, now again, this was my thought process. I did not want that. So when I saw that Jesus paid the price so I didn't have to go to hell, to me, that was an excellent pearl. That was a valuable treasure. And I said, wow, if he did that for me, I want it. I started reading my Bible like crazy. I mean, to like 2 and 3 in the morning. And I didn't even know what I was reading. I'm just like reading, because someone said something. Well, your Bible, it's what God gave us. It's like, okay, this is his word. So I started devouring it and I haven't stopped. Because I saw the value of the kingdom. I saw the value of God's dominion. I didn't have that language. I just knew, wow, he saved me from hell. That's powerful. And I'm willing to give up a lot of things. I remember I was driving down the road and believe me, I used to have a little Volkswagen Bug. 6'4", yeah, just like, I looked like getting out of a clown car when I got out of this car. But I was driving down the road and I was listening to this song from one of these excellent, you know, groups of mine that I loved, you know, at the time. And I'm going along and I'm singing the words, you know, la, la, la. All of a sudden, I hear what I'm singing. And I go, oh, that's not right. And the Holy Spirit's convicting me or I'm convicting me. I realize that this is not the right kingdom. And I eject it. And it was in the day of cassettes. I eject it. Eject it. What is that? Like, I grab it and I roll down my window, right out the window. While I was driving. Yep. Goodbye. Because I knew something valuable was worth possessing. And I was selling everything I had, so to speak. Aramaic says it this way, but again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to the merchant who was searching for precious pearls, but when he found a certain, obviously valuable pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. In Luke, we have a story. We also have it in Matthew, but it says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's kind of the question I was asking. I didn't know how to ask it. I just knew that I did not want to go to hell. And so eternal life sounded like the opposite, right? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, the ruler, all these things I have kept from my youth. So in other words, I'm good, Jesus. I took care of all those things. I know that there are rules and things we have to follow. So thank you for reinforcing that. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, okay, you still lack one thing. What? There's only 10 commandments. You're coming up with another one? Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. What the what? Can you imagine? Like, this is not, you're not talking another, you know, commandment that I can write down on a list and practice keeping. No, you're asking me to give up my life. Yep. I'm asking you to give up your life because that's the one thing you lack. Even though you've kept all these commandments, even though you look pretty and everything, everybody thinks that you've got it all going on, you don't, because you're still holding back. Your wealth has captured you. Now you need to get rid of what's captured you and let you be captured by my heart. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I lose sight of how wealthy we are as a nation. Even the poorest of our poor compared to other places where they're literally sleeping in the streets 24/7. They don't have a place that they can go and get food. They don't have a place that someone can meet their needs. They're just dying, being forgot about. Or there's no food to feed them wherever they're at. Maybe it's a total famine. And so it puts back on me this idea. I, in this wealth that you've given us as a nation, lost the fact of how hard it is for us to enter the kingdom of heaven? Even though we go to church, even though we say we're Christians, even though we have all the right songs we sing and make all the right declarations, are we still shy on this idea that we need to give God everything? Before you guys lynch me up here this morning, these are Jesus parables. All I'm doing is giving you Jesus parables. If you got issues with him, take it up with him. When I hear these next two stories, it really helps me keep in perspective of how easy we have it as believers nowadays. Mark 2 says, then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitudes came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. He was a tax collector. He was at his job. He was collecting money. Soldiers were probably around there protecting him because he was a Jew and he was causing his fellow people to have to pay taxes to Caesar. And so he wasn't looked on as a very nice person. But as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. It's like he said to him, come and be part of the kingdom of heaven. To put it in the same kind of terminology we're using. Follow me. So he rose and followed him. Left his book out that was keeping track of how much everybody had been paying that day. He had a very, very significant position. He was probably very wealthy. He was someone that had great responsibility, and he left it and followed Jesus. Left his place of occupation to follow Jesus. He was being totally sold out. I'm going for this guy. We don't know all the backstory of what Matthew had heard. If any of you have seen The Chosen, I think Jenkins does a really pretty amazing job of showing how that was all, you know, happening around him, and he was probably hearing things that Jesus was doing and maybe even watching him from afar at one of his sermons. And when he was offered the chance to follow him, he took him up on it. But he still had to leave who he was. He still had to deny himself and take up his cross and follow after Jesus. Here's another one. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. They immediately left their livelihood and followed Jesus. I don't know about you, but that challenges me. Lord, help me leave the things that are keeping me from being in your kingdom the way you want me to be in your kingdom. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son, and the sons of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. So now there were these two are, I see Peter and Andrew walking behind Jesus. Now they come to another boat. And again, I'm sure Jesus had interaction with, we have other places where we see Jesus having some interaction with these disciples before they become his disciples. But they're working with their father in the boat. They're fishing. They're doing their job. They're mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Sold out. There's power in being sold out. Now, we may not think that, because being sold out looks like loss, doesn't it? I mean, when you're sold out to God, it looks like, oh wow, you know, I'm giving up a whole bunch of stuff. At least the way I'm presenting it today, right? I'm telling you, God doesn't want your stuff. He wants your heart. And sometimes your heart is tied up in your stuff. Like the rich young man. It wasn't that Jesus wanted him just to go and sell his stuff so he could say, yeah, I got another one to follow me. And that's the way that I do it. I put a bunch of, you know, constraints on people to follow me. No. He wanted him to be free from what was entangling him. One of the places in the scriptures it says, do not be entangled with the affairs of this life. Talking about being a Christian. And I will leave you with this. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. We're just talking about loss. But what things were gained to me? This is Paul now in Philippians. But what things were gained to me? In other words, what things were of value to me at one time? What things were of riches to me at one time? What things were my treasure at one time? These I have counted loss now for Christ. In other words, the things that I once considered dear to me, I count as loss. I count as nothing. And then he says, yet indeed, I also count all things loss. Wow. Not just those things, but all things lost compared to the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul's saying, nothing that I've known before Jesus is worth comparing to knowing Jesus. Nothing of value in my life, and he was a rich man at one point because he was a Pharisee. Most all of them were wealthy. They came from wealthy families. They had affluence. They were the chief among people of status and wealth. And he says, all of that I count as loss compared to the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. So he's saying, I've lost all things. I don't have them anymore. Like he said at one point, I've been very wealthy. I've been in great need. But in all these things, I found contentment in God. And then he goes on to say, and I count them all as rubbish. Some translations and some Greeks say, I count them all as a dung pile. I count them all as a pile of, that I may gain Christ. I count all of these other things that have been in my life that have been once a treasure to me, nothing compared to the kingdom of heaven and the one who rules that kingdom of heaven, Jesus. The one I have my allegiance to. The one that I'm sold out to now. Paul understood the power of being sold out. And when you read the impact that he had on churches in Asia, churches in different areas of Rome, all over the whole Mediterranean, the power of Paul being sold out reflected in the lives that were changed. We make mighty declarations over the Yakima Valley. Amen? Amen. We believe that God's going to work. And one of the lines in there, and what? God, show me how you can use me in accomplishing some things, all these things. We declare it, all these things. To me, that tells me that we need to be sold out. Again, not in a way that we condemn ourselves or the devil condemns us, in a way that we realize the gift of the kingdom that we've been given, this gift of eternal life that we've been given, this gift of love that we've been given. But it's all subjective to our natural man, and it's hard to understand how much God has already accomplished for us, how much of a treasure we've already received in him. Lord, we thank you that you were the ultimate example of being sold out. You gave it all. It says that you didn't consider it a thing to desire to be in the heavenlies with your Father. You laid it aside. You came. You sold out all of your heavenly power and glory and might and came and dwelt and lived among us. You were the prime example of being sold out. And the power of the Holy Spirit worked through you mightily on earth with miracles, with receiving truth from heaven that you communicated to mankind. We still hear those words of truth today because you were sold out. There's times in my life, Lord, I've been sold out. I mean, I've been running hard and chasing hard after you. And then there's times that it wanes. And I think part of that is that I lose the joy of my salvation. The treasure that I richly understood that I received becomes faded by all the other attractions of this life. So forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for losing sight of what's really important. Forgive me, Lord, for letting shiny things take the place of you. Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day, a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Yes, Lord, make us more like Jesus.
Save me from myself. Jesus, every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, and my new life might be secured. Everything I do, done so I could honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your Holy Spirit. Make me more like Jesus, every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, and my new life might be secured. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image. Into your image. Into your image. Wanna look like you, God. Into your image.
Amen. Make us more like Jesus. Have a blessed week. Love you. And like Pastor Gay said, if you need us anytime, call us any day or night. Any day or night. Let's not make it so that we hear that you were in the hospital and that you were, you know, suffering from something. And we put you on the prayer chain the next day. We're here to be pastors to you. Amen. Love you.